All right, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So good to see all of you here. Can you quickly turn to your neighbor and say, what a blessed day. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a joy to be here at KLBC Desa Paksa City. And I heard so much about this church. And now that I'm here, I can honestly say that it is one of the best churches in Malaysia. Seriously, okay? I'm not just saying this because I'm a guest preacher, but look at this place. You got a great location, a beautiful building, amazing people here. Amen? Amen? And you got a great leader, Pastor John Gogg, and the pastoral team. What a blessed church. And KLBC has been a blessing to so many people, to so many organizations, missionaries, pastors, servants of God, and beyond. And if this is your home church, you know what? You really should be excited and be proud of it. So quickly turn to your neighbor and say, you are in the best church. Amen. Now, I've known Pastor Keller for so many years, and we served together on different platforms and a different ministry. And I can honestly say that he's a faithful servant of God, a family man, and also a very hardworking pastor. A few weeks ago, I told Pastor Keller that I'm taking a short break. Okay, I'll be coming down to KL. And I'm taking a short break because I've been very busy for the past few weeks. Guess what? He invited me to preach here, okay? And so my staff asked, why does he make you work so hard, you know? And I say, because he thinks I hardly work. You see, during holidays, people go to the beach. I go to the pulpit. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But truly, it is an honor, my privilege to be here today to meet amazing people here. And most importantly, is to preach the word of God. Amen? Now, Pastor Caleb asked me to preach on eschatology, which is a very big topic. When he asked me to preach this topic, I was like, wow, what a big topic, you know, and what a coincidence too. Because my church, we have been studying the book of Revelation, the seven letters to the seven churches of Revelation. So I really believe that this is not by chance, but it is God's divine plan and purpose for me to preach on this topic. Now, the word eschatology simply means, everybody say, the end. Let's try again. Everybody say, the end. Amen. Now, just to clarify, this is not the end of my sermon, all right? But you could say, this is the beginning of the end. Now, eschatology simply means the study of the end times. So, in other words, how does the story end? Now, I love to watch movies. Anyone here? Movie lovers? Put up your hand, be honest, all right? Wow, the rest of you are so holy one. Yeah, I love to watch my movies. I remember many years ago, I'm a Cantonese guy, okay? I'm from Sandakan, a little, they call it a little Hong Kong, okay? A small town in Sabah. Now they don't call little Hong Kong, they call it little Philippine already. Yeah, a lot of Filipinos there. But anyway, I love to watch a Cantonese movie. That reminds me of many years ago, I watched a Hong Kong drama series, okay? And I follow it faithfully, episode after episode. And finally, I got to the last one, the last episode. And guess what? There was no ending. That's it. I was so frustrated. I was so disappointed. I was actually very angry. I sat through 29 episodes, and I was waiting for the episode 30th, okay? But there's no ending. There's no conclusion. I was so disappointed. But thankfully, praise the Lord, God didn't leave us hanging like that. In the Bible, He tells us how the story ends. That God sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, for our sin. And He came to save us. But that's not the end of the story. Death is not the end. Amen? And Jesus died on the cross. And He rose again. The tomb is empty. He is risen. He has conquered death and the grave. He is alive. Everyone say, He is alive. And the best part is, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is in you. The Spirit lives in you. He is in you. He is for you. And He is with you. Amen? And because He lived, all who believe in Him shared in His victory and have eternal life. But listen, that's not the end of the story. The Bible tells us that Jesus will come back again. And that's why people often ask questions like this. When is Jesus coming back? Have you ever asked this question? When is Jesus coming back? When is the end of the world? Are we living in the end times? Yes or no? So what is going to happen in the future? Now, here's the thing. I got all these questions, especially during the pandemic year. Now, scientists, astronomers, religious figures, and so-called experts have tried to predict when the world will end. Now, a preacher named Harold Camping, he predicted that Judgment Day would fall on 21st May 2011. And he even spent $100 million spreading that message. And there were a lot of his followers sold their houses, quit their job, and gave away all their life savings to help spread the word. They even advertised on billboards, Judgment Day on May 21st, 2011. And guess what? Now we are in 2025. Nothing happened on May 21st. And then you know what he said? He said May 21st was a spiritual or invisible Judgment Day. And that physical rapture will be on October 21st. Hello. He revised his prophecy. Can you imagine that? He postponed the end times. Oh, wow. It sounds like he's more powerful than God. You know? That's ridiculous. And again, nothing happened on October 21st. And eventually, he admitted he didn't know when the end would come. And his prophecy did not come true. And meanwhile, there were so many people were left broken, disappointed, bankrupt, because they followed the wrong leader. Now, about 10 years ago, a friend of mine from Penang, and he said, Jesus will come back soon, and it will happen within a few years, okay, around 2012 or 2013. And he was so convinced that Jesus would come back in the year of 2012 or 2013. So he quit his job, he sold his house, and he even quit the church. All right? And obviously, that prophecy didn't come true. Now, recently, I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, it has been spreading in social media. Recently, social media has been posting videos about a South African pastor claiming that he had a vision of rapture when Christians are taken to heaven, happening on September 23rd or September 24th, 2025, this year, which means a few days ago, all right? And today is September 28th, right? So obviously, that prophecy didn't come true. So if anyone claims to know the exact date, you can be sure it won't happen. If any pastors or Bible teachers, leaders, okay, claim to know the exact date, let me tell you, run away from that church. Run away from that preacher. Why? Because Jesus say, everyone say, no one knows. All right? Jesus say, no one knows about the day or the hour. Only God knows the future. And he also say in Acts chapter 1 verse 7, it is not for you to know. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is not for you to know. All right? It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. So to speculate about a date would be absolutely foolish, unbiblical, and against the teaching of our Lord. Now, we don't know exactly when the world will end. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, verse 13. Now, everyone say, keep watch. Keep watch, okay? Watch what? It's to watch for the sign. What kind of sign? Now, thankfully, the Bible shows us the sign of the end times. And Jesus gave us a lengthy description of the last day. And some of these things are happening right now. Now, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 25, verses 5 through 14. Now, I'm not going to read the entire passage, but notice Jesus gave us 10 signs that the tribulation is drawing near. So we can see the 10 numbers, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I'm sure you can identify the signs, okay? The 10 signs that the tribulation is drawing near. Now, not what other people say, not what the scholars or experts or the scientists or politicians or any religious figure say, but I want us to hear what Jesus say. And it's everything is recorded in the Bible. All right? So these are the signs that will happen before Jesus return. All right? So there are ten signs, 10 D's, okay, letter D. The first D is deception by false teachers. Jesus said, many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. You know what? It is true. It's happening in the world. Throughout the world, there are people who actually claim to be the Messiah. Now, for example, there's a man in Brazil who boldly declares that he is Jesus Christ. And he dressed up like Jesus, exactly like Jesus. He got a lot of followers. And in Russia, another guy said he is the reincarnation of Jesus. And he told everyone he was the second coming. And he actually has over 5,000 believers. Can you imagine that? Right? And in the Philippines, a Filipino pastor proclaimed himself the appointed son of God and the owner of the universe. Wow, crazy, right? So if you look back through the centuries, the 17th, the 18th, the 20th, and now 21st century, you'll find countless individuals rising up saying, I am the chosen one. I am the Messiah. I am Jesus Christ. There were so many fake Jesus. Next slide. Okay, next. Yeah, this is a Filipino pastor. Next. Yeah, so many people, okay, claims to be Jesus Christ. Okay, the second D, dissension or disagreement among nations. And Jesus said there will be wars or rumors of wars, and it is happening right now, right? Number three, the third D, devastation of the food supply. There will be famines. Number four, diseases or pestilences in various places. The thing about the pandemic 5 years ago, we all just lived through. Number five, disaster around the world. So there will be earthquake in many parts of the world. We see disasters are more frequently. And Jesus said, this is just the beginning. Number six, the sixth D, death for the sake of Christ. Christians will be arrested, persecuted, and even killed. You'll be hated by the world because you are followers of Jesus. Number seven, disloyalty among friends. Now, at that time, many people will turn away from him and betray and hate each other. Number eight, delusion associated with false religion. So there will be many false prophets, false teachers will appear and deceive many people. And here's the thing. When I prepared this message, you know what? I got an invitation, a WhatsApp, okay? I received a WhatsApp message, an invitation to a conference. And the conference called The Secret of the Book of Revelation. Wow, The Secret of the Book of Revelation. Where got secret one? Everything revealed in the Bible, you know? By the way, Revelation, okay, it means reveal. So everything is revealed here in the Word of God. So I got this invitation to attend this conference, The Secret of the Book of Revelation, organized by the St. John G. Church of Jesus. Have you heard of this church? Any one of you have heard of this church? Only one. All right. You should know about this church, okay? It's one of the biggest cult church in the world. It's from Korea. So if you receive any of these messages from this church or from the members, ignore, okay? Block this number, all right? These are false teachers. They will deceive you. Yeah, there are many cult churches in Malaysia, and you need to know about this. Okay, number nine, defection from the faith. And Jesus warned that evil will increase in the world and cause many people to stop loving others. So in other words, evil will increase, love decrease. Let me say this again. Evil will increase, love decrease. Meaning more violence, more division, and more hatred. But those people who keep their faith until the end will be saved. And finally, number 10, declaration of the gospel. And Jesus said, the end will come. Okay, listen carefully. The end will come when the good news is preached throughout the world. Amen. So this is the sign that we want to accelerate. The darker the world gets, the brighter the gospel must shine. Let me say this again. The darker the world gets, the brighter the gospel must shine. And we must spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you a few more passages about the end times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul showed us what people will be like in the last days. All right? Now, people will be selfish, will be greedy, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, and more. And Paul says what? Stay away from people like that. Now, hear what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. In the last day, some people will mock you for your faith. And they will say, look at this Christian. Every week, week after week, they gather here at KLBC, the Sa Pak CD. These people are crazy, are stupid, are foolish. You say that Jesus will come back. Show me where is your Jesus. And 2 Peter reminded us, some people will mock you for your faith. Now, we have heard what Jesus said in Matthew 24. We have heard what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we have heard what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. All pointing to the same truth. The signs are here and Jesus' second coming is drawing near. And that brings us to the most important question. Not when will Jesus return, but the most important question is, are you ready for the day He returns? Are you ready? When I was a teenager, the end times was the last thing on my mind. Until one unforgettable dream woke me up. And I felt like the end of the world. All right, I was sleeping, I was dreaming. In my dream, I saw, okay, the situation, it was like the end times. At that time, I didn't know much about the end time. In fact, I knew nothing about the book of Revelation. I was about the age of 12 or 13, okay? And I didn't know what Paul said. I didn't know what Peter said or Jesus said about the last days. But in my dream, there was an earthquake. There was war. And the sky turned bloody red. And it was terrifying. And I saw people weeping hopelessly. And I heard people crying hopelessly, like screaming from hell. And then suddenly, I saw sky turn bright, okay, blue, bright blue. And in that very moment, you know what? I felt an incredible peace fill my heart. And then I woke up and I lay there facing the ceiling, wondering what it all meant. And I didn't fully understand it, but I felt it so real. Now, that same year, all right, that same year, my church organized a church family camp. And guess what the theme was? Are you ready? Are you ready? That's our church camp theme. Are you ready? And I was like, oh, what a great timing. Again, are you ready? And during the camp, every day, every morning and night, we sang the theme song, a powerful old hymn song, all right? And it's called, There's a Great Day Coming. Now, any one of you know this song? Put up your hand. None of you. It's a very old hymn, okay? There's a great day coming. And the song goes like this. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for the day to come? All right, I was a teenager, okay, 12, 13 years old. I was like, I'm not ready, Lord. I'm not ready. This is a huge thing, okay? A big topic. And then the chorus, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? And I was praying, God, I am not ready. And here's the stanzas too. And it sounds like my second part of my dream. There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But this brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for the Lord to come? And honestly, I wasn't ready at all. But back then, I didn't know much about the end times, about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe some of you here feel the same way too. And let me ask you, are you ready for the day to come? Are you ready for the day to come? And this morning, I want to encourage you with the Word of God. And this hope is not based on wishful thinking. It's not based on speculation. And it's not based on what other people say, but on the promise of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. The Apostle Paul gave us a glimpse of that glorious event, the second coming of Christ. So before we read the text together, here's the context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, the Christian at Thessalonica believed that Jesus would return one day. And when he comes, all his people, we're talking about the believers, all his people on earth will go to be with him in heaven. But the Christian at Thessalonica were worried about those who had died before Jesus came back. So they were wondering, will their loved ones who had already died and were believers would go to heaven? So Paul wrote these letters to kind of explain what would happen to those. All right, so let's look at the passage, verse 13 to verse 18. So brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed. That's what I want to do today. I want to inform you, okay, about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Brothers, can you read with me? For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Verse 13. According to the Lord's word, we'll tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. All right? Now, sister, can you read verse 16? After that, we who are still alive. All right, together, verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's what I want to do today, to encourage you with this truth as we look at this passage. Now, if you are taking note, there are four R's, okay? I want to encourage you with these four R's, okay, that give us unshakable hope. Number one is the return of Christ. Everyone say, Jesus will come back. The return of Christ. Now, this is like Arnold Schwarzenegger moment where he said, I'll be back. I'll be back. And guess what? He did come back, huh? Many times. There are part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5, and 6, okay? He came back so many times, but still, he couldn't save the world. But when Jesus says, okay, I will return, he means it. There will be no part 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, no. The first time he came as the suffering Savior to save the world from sin, to save you, to save us, to save everyone from sin. And the second time he comes, he will come as the sovereign King to judge the world and to reward those who have followed him. Then Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 3, when everything is ready, all right, when everything is ready, let's read together, I will come and get you. So that's good news, okay? Jesus promised that he would come back for us. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, that God will bring those believers who have fallen asleep back to life. Now, he's not talking about someone here who has fallen asleep. Oh, Pastor, your preaching is so long. You're long-winded, so boring, and fallen asleep. Now, the word asleep means Christian who have died in Christ. So that's Christian death. Death is not the end. Amen? And it's like falling asleep and waking up in the presence of God. Now, let me ask you, how many of you love to attend funeral? Please put up your hand. That you love to attend funeral. You love to attend funeral so much that you will tell Pastor Caleb, I love to attend funeral. Any funeral, please join me, okay? Please invite me. Anyone here? No, probably not, all right? A funeral is a time when you say goodbye to someone we love, or a family member, or someone dear to us who has passed on. Now, over the years as being a pastor, I noticed something. There are generally three kinds of funeral. Number one, the sorrowful funeral. The first type of funeral is called the sorrowful funeral. This is the hardest one. Losing a loved one suddenly through an accident or unexpected death is indeed very painful. Now, because there was no time to prepare, there was no time for you to say goodbye. So the grief cuts deep and unbearable. Now, the second type of funeral, I call it the peaceful funeral. Now, this is when death comes slowly, not sudden death, perhaps through a long illness or after being bedridden for a time. So there is time for the person to prepare for death, and there is time for the family members to say goodbyes. And then thirdly, this is what we want, okay? It's called the hopeful funeral. This is what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he says, Christians should not grieve like people who have no hope. Yes, we still cry, we miss the person, all right? But our tears are filled with hope. Our tears will be filled with joy, not in despair. Why? Because death is not the end. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ will rise again. And the great hope for all believers is anchored in the second R, all right? The second R is the resurrection of Christ. Now look at verse 16. Verse 16, here's the thing. This is no small event. This is going to be big. This is going to be loud. There will be a loud command. There will be a loud voice. There will be a loud trumpet. And this is the royal announcement of the coming King, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. And Christ's return will be visible and victorious. It will be public and worldwide event. Every eye will see Him. The Lord will come down to the world to receive us. And here's the hope. Those who are dead in Christ, those who believe that Jesus died and rose again from death to life, will be raised by His power. So that's why Paul says, don't grieve like people who have no hope. So whether it was a sorrowful or peaceful death, if the person died in Christ, if the person has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he or she will be resurrected by His power. And Paul comforted the Thessalonians believers with the promise of the resurrection. Okay, and so we should comfort others as well and reassure each other with this great hope. Now, the word hope does not mean there is a doubt. This does not mean I hope so or maybe. For Christian, it is something that they are sure about, and the hope is a guarantee, and it is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. And Scripture calls this the blessed hope. Revelation 20 verse 6, he put it like this: blessed and holy are the are those who share in the first resurrection. Now, let me say it plainly, okay? We don't talk about death, especially Chinese. When you talk about death, especially with the seniors, especially Cantonese, chai, mo gong se, right? Don't talk about death. You talk about death, it's like cursing them, all right? But you got to know this, that death is inevitable. So there is a first death, a physical death. When a person dies, there is a separation of the spirit from the body. So if you are a believer, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what happens when you die? Your soul or spirit is immediately taken into God's presence. So this is the first resurrection you want to be in. absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. Can you say it with me? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But their body remains here. Now, the second death is far more serious. Now, listen, you don't want to experience the second death because that is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. And listen, there's no appeal, there's no second chance, no exits, and it is a final and eternal consequences of rejecting Christ. And here's the good news. If you believe and belong to Jesus, and if you remain faithful to Him, you don't have to fear the first death, and you will never face the second death. Amen? So the second death has no power over you. Your future is secure in Christ, and our hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, listen up. Death is not your termination, but your transition into eternity. Let me say this again. Death is not your termination, but your transition into eternity. Now, how many of you have life insurance? Put up your hand. Life insurance. Anyone? Life insurance? All right. I believe most of us have. But life insurance only covers you until the first death. But after that, habis cerita lah, okay? That's the end of the policy, okay? The end. But if you have Christ in your life, you don't just have life insurance, you have eternal life assurance. Amen? Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you have eternal life assurance? Now, life insurance pays out when you die. Eternal life assurance promises you will truly live forever with Christ, and that's guaranteed. All right. So what do we have? So first, we have the return of Christ. Second, we have the resurrection of Christ. The second death has no power over you, and the promise that we will rise with Him. And number three, if you are taking notes, number three, we have the rapture of believers. Now, what is the rapture? So Paul explained it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. It will happen in a moment. All right, in the blink of an eye. So that means it's faster than snapping your fingers. In a moment, a blink, then it's gone. So there's no time for you to pack your bag. There's no time for you to get your passport. So there's no time for you to check if your hair looks okay or not. All right, it's instant. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, the word rapture, the English word rapture is not in the Bible, okay? But this word caught up comes from the Greek word harpazo, and it means to be seized, to be snatched up, or carried away, or it means to be rescued. And the Latin translation gave us the word rapture or raptura, okay, which is where we get the English word rapture. So the rapture is God's removing of His people from the earth before the judgment fall. But take note, the rapture is for believers, is for Christians only. Those who trust in Jesus as the Lord and Savior will be taken up. And those who don't will be left behind to face the horrors of the tribulation. Now, let's pause here for a moment. Because when it comes to the rapture, people have been debating it for years. There are three different views about the timing. Okay, number one, the pre-tribulation. Some people believe a Christian will be rescued before, okay, the tribulation, before things get bad. Then number two is a mid-tribulation rapture. And some people believe that Christian will be rescued in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, before the great tribulation start. Then number three, post-tribulation rapture. Those who believe the rapture will happen at the end of the tribulation. Now, Christians have been debating, okay, back and forth on this. But here's what we do know, is that Jesus is coming back. So whether it is pre, mid, or post-tribulation, we all can be sure that Jesus will come back. And the scriptures say, God will rescue His people. We will be snatched out, caught up, or raptured. And Jesus Himself described in Matthew 24, verse 29, And he compares his return to the days of Noah. People were living life as usual until the flood came. And then he say this, pay attention because this is intense, in Matthew 24, They knew nothing about what was happening until the flood came and destroyed them. It will be the same when the Son of Man comes. And I want you to pay careful attention to this, because this is how Jesus says it will happen. He says that two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain with a mill. One will be taken and the other will be left. So I put it in today's context, okay? It could look like this. Two people in the office, one is taken and the other left. Or it could be a family eating lunch at the Burger King, okay? And the half the table disappear and the other half stay. Or it could literally be at church like right now, okay? Two people sitting side by side, one is taken and the other is left. Now, lastly, I don't want you to miss the application of this. Jesus said in verse 42 and 44, so always be ready, because you don't know the day your Lord will come. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at a time and you don't at a time you don't expect him. So be ready, be ready, be ready. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. Don't be a lukewarm Christian. Love him with all your heart. Serve him wholeheartedly. Walk with him closely. Our Lord is coming. You better be ready. So first, we have there is a return of Christ. Second, there is resurrection of Christ. And third, there is a rapture of those who are still alive in Christ. And fourth, Paul points us to the climax of it all. There is the reunion of believers. Wow, what a day that will be. This is not just a return. This is not just a resurrection, all right, or rapture. It is a grand reunion. You see, the return is about Jesus coming back. The resurrection is about those who have already died in Christ. The rapture is about those who are still alive when Christ comes. And the reunion is about all of us. It's about believers gather together and spend time with Jesus forever. And we will be reunited with our loved ones who died in Christ. Maybe your grandparents, your parents, or children and friends. And we will be reunited with heroes of faith. We will see Paul, Peter, Esther, Moses, John, or Noah. Now, look at verse 17 again. After that, we who are still alive and are left, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds. So what are we going to do? All right, there, the Bible says what? To meet the Lord in the air. But most of all, this is the highlight. And so we will be with the Lord forever. What a day. We will be with the Lord. All right, amen. What a reunion. What does that mean? It means no more pain, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more brokenness, no more poverty, no more divorce, no more loneliness, no more separation, and no more goodbyes, no more funerals. You will be with the Lord. Amen. So when you know this reunion is coming, it changes how you live your life today. The return is certain. The resurrection is promised. The rapture is guaranteed. And the reunion is glorious. So my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, so what should we do? Since we are living in the end times, what should you do? Now, I'll tell you what we should do. You should buy as many canned food as you can. Buy as many toilet paper as you can, all right? And store it in your house. And if possible, buy a weapon, buy a gun. So in case, all right, if things get bad, someone go into your house, just shoot the person, okay? To protect yourself, to protect your family. Is this what the Bible says? No, all right? And here's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Okay, let's read together. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Not panic, not stockpiling, not fear, but encourage one another, because Jesus is coming back. He's coming to take us away. So how should we live in light of his return? And lastly, I want to encourage you with five applications. I want you to take these five things back home. Number one, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Now, here's the thing. The devil intends to cause us to lose focus so that we become too busy, too confused, or even go off course, that we will miss out on Christ's second coming. So, my friend, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and watch expectantly and wait eagerly. All right? Number one, keep your eyes open. Number two, keep your life clean. Now, when we are expecting guests to come to your house, okay, we will clean our house. In the same way, we need to prepare our lives for Jesus' return by keeping our lives clean by confessing our sin and inviting God to remove it from our lives. So, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desire, and do not let sin distract you. Okay, we keep your life clean, pure, and holy. Okay, number three, keep your mind on the Word of God. Now, when times are tough, you can't rely on motivational talk. I know there are so many motivational talks nowadays. You can do it. Believe in yourself. All right? The second coming of Jesus Christ, you cannot rely on all those motivational talks. And you cannot rely on those nice-to-hear sermons. You know what I'm talking about? You cannot depend on those sermons. You got to fill your mind with the Word of God. You got to equip yourself with the Word of God. And let me tell you this up front, okay? You can be discouraged by the world's problem. You can be distracted by the worldly pleasures. You can be deceived by the world's promises of comfort and ease in this life. And you will also be deceived by the misinterpretation of God's Word or misrepresentation of Him. So, read the Word of God, know the Word of God, dive deep, okay? Ask important questions and help you to really know the Word of God. Not just know the Word of God, but know the God of the Word. Amen? All right? Okay, number four, keep your faith strong. Keep your faith strong. Now, as the clock continues ticking, we draw closer to the end of the age. And we will face all kinds of problems. We will face at least four T's. You will face troubles, trials, tests, and temptation. And you need to be spiritually strong. And the world will hate you. And Jesus warned his followers that they would face persecution and trials in this world. So we must be prepared to endure hardship and suffering. So my friends, do not give up. Believers who remain faithful and strong in the trial will receive the crown of life. Amen. And lastly, keep your purpose firm. God's purpose in this last day is the proclamation of the gospel to all the nation. Mark chapter 13, verse 9 to 10. When these things begin to happen, it says what? Watch out. Watch out. You'll be handed over to the local councils and beaten in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. So when this thing happens, what should we do? Hide or fight? Which one? When this thing happens, what should you do? Hide or fight? No. The Bible says what? This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. This is your opportunity to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. For the good news must first be preached to all the nation. And here's the thing. People matter to God. Every person you know, your family, your friends, your colleague, your boss, your neighbors, all of them matter to God. And even those who doesn't like you, all of them matter to God. God loves them. And here's the thing. In Malaysia, nearly 197,000 people would die every year. So that means every minute, okay, every 2 to 3 minutes, at least one person died without Christ. Imagine how many people die without Christ. Every year, there are at least 62 million people in the world will die, and most of them will die hopelessly without Christ. That means every single minute, at least 118 people die without knowing the good news of Jesus Christ. My friend, time is running out. The second coming of Jesus Christ is imminent. We cannot avoid. It could occur at any time. So witness urgently. each one rich one. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, each one rich one? So if you are not a believer, please don't delay. Please don't ignore. Don't reject the gift of salvation. Accept the Lord's invitation while the door is still open, while there is still time, while there is room in the Father's house for everyone. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the only way to be protected from the coming judgment and eternal punishment in the lake of fire is to place your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, your goodness. And we thank you for your word that reminds us that Jesus is coming back for us. And brothers and sisters, as you are praying right now, I can almost be certain that many of you are a lot like me, being caught up into the things that don't really matter and don't last. And maybe you're not longing for his return, and you're not living like he's returning. But today you can pray, God, forgive me. God, change my heart. God, help me to live like you are coming back soon. Maybe right now you can pray to God right now. God, change my heart. God, forgive me. Prepare me to meet the Lord. I want to love you. I want to serve you with all my heart. Why don't you tell Jesus right now, God, I love you. Lord, increase my passion for your kingdom and for your name and for your glory. And as you keep praying today, and I can sense some tensions here, if Jesus returned today, if Jesus were to return right now, if the trumpet sounded, and I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? And some of you know that you are not ready at all. You have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But here's the good news. Jesus has forgiven your sin. And he took all of your sin and died on the cross. And he rose again so that anyone, no matter who you are or what you have done, you can be saved if you call on his name. And is there someone here today who say, Lord, I want to give my life to Jesus. Lord, I believe Jesus died for my sin and rose again. Today, I surrender fully to him. Anyone here this morning that you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can just put up your hand right now. Anyone here this morning, anyone here will say, yes, that's me today. By faith, I give my life to God, to Jesus. I give my life fully to him. Would you lift your hand right now? And then I'm going to pray for you. Anyone here this morning say, yes, Lord, that's my prayer. And I would like to welcome you into God's family. Anyone here? In your quiet place, you can pray, Heavenly Father, say in your heart right now, Heavenly Father, save me from my sin. And I believe Jesus died for me. He rose again so I could live for you. Fill me with your spirit so I could serve you with all my heart. Today, I give you my life. Thank you for new life in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone say, Amen.